You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Eden Project is part of now a global family of projects which really talk about reintegrating people with nature. People as a part of nature, as a part from nature, they might say. And so the sort of founding idea started with the Eden Project UK, built out in Cornwall as a millennium project. And that attracts a million visitors a year, I think, put something like $15 billion into the Cornwall economy. Now it has 34% of its employment down there. So that was a pretty impoverished area of Great Britain out there, just below Wales. And one of my colleagues, Ray Sleeman, wrote to them after our earthquakes in 2011. He's Cornish himself. He said, had they ever thought about internationalising this? And, he had written earlier, in fact, and they were still busy in the setup. And they came back in 2011 and said, yes, we are. We now have the goal of having one Eden project in each continent. Right, we said. And on their site, they talk about finding or taking the most devastated land they could find and turning it into a symbol of hope, resilience, revitalization, a place where transformation of people and places can take place. So at its heart is an education experience centre. And so we looked around and said, boy, we've got a lot of devastated land, and it's called the Residential Red Zone. And so we wrote to them, and I think all of the trustees have now been there, and they came across. In fact, they've been across three times, and they said, you know what, this really is devastated. This is a community. It's a place, actually, where you can still see the street markings and the hedgerows and the trees, the occasional tree hut. It's a place where, I suppose, you know, if you let your imagination roll, you can hear the sounds of laughter, family discussions, playfulness, perhaps tears, where a community once lived. And it's no longer suitable for housing. So we want to also reintegrate people with nature, because this in some ways was land that should never have been built on, given what we now know about our rivers and our soils and our waterways. Now, the big gig is that Eden UK, their whole theme is around the role of plants in human life, and ours is around the role of water in human life. And the step-off point for that is, hey, our bodies are 69 to 70% water, and we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we put in our bodies. We need to be careful how we use the water around us. And it, as we've seen in even in the last general election, concern about fresh water and how we use water and how we get a sustainable harvest rather than overexploit it is really important. And the only way that that can happen is by all of us being more mindful about it. So that's the genesis of the idea. Yeah, well, so the Eden in the UK, and their website, was it www.edenprojectuk.com, it's worth a gizmo, because a lot of people, and maybe a lot of your audience, Jack, have been to that, and it's big, big biodomes. It's the world's largest captured forest. And people say, you mean the domes thing? And the point is that we have now worked with Matapopri, who are the cultural consultants to Ngāi Tahu, and the Tuahiwi who speak to that land. And we've worked with Grimshaw's architects in the USA, and we've come up with this wonderful form that we revealed, and that is a hinaki, an eel net. And it may be, depending on the soil and the site, be built out of laminated wood. So from my point of view as a sort of professor of tourism, it becomes apparent that really successful destinations have at their symbol, at their heart, a symbol, an icon that talks to the heart of who they are. So Sydney, Opera House, Spinnaker's, Sails, the Harbour. Everybody knows the Eiffel Tower in Paris, or the pyramids of Egypt, or Big Ben in London. So what would be better than flying in over Christchurch and see the symbol of New Zealand, a hinaki, a giant eel net, cast sort of casually in the meandering meanders of the Avon River. So we think that is the wow factor that can lift us, and inside will be the various sort of experiences and content themes.
So you're looking at making kind of a global kind of international spot that kind of everyone can come to.
We are, and we don't think small, we think big. But so, we also kind of recognise that you know, hey, the river's not in such a good state, and the town folks have not done well, as the country folks will remind us, and we don't need that on these sort of little green rocks to have that sort of division. So we will take responsibility for every drop of water that falls on the land. We will improve the quality of every piece of water we use on the site and return it to the ecosystem in a better way by demonstrating nature's ways of treating waste and stormwater and the like. We will use the river up and down, because we inherit bad water from upstream and it gets worse as it goes out to the sea, and use that as a conversation piece to improve the whole Avon River. And so that's a sort of a river rules our lives. And we will use that to tell the global story of water, civilizations, people, migration. So we're very excited about its potential. But it is not small.
And how big is the red zone down in Christchurch?
You kind of got me there a wee bit. I think it's over 300 hectares. It's bigger. Much, much bigger than Hagley Park. It might be four times the size of Hagley Park. And we're looking for 70 hectares, you know, including all the ancillary services, but about 37 hectares in the core of our area. And that's on the Avonside Loop. So if people know Avonside Girls College, it's just to the north of that, down a road called Retreat Road, about a kilometre and a half short of the old rowing course at Kerr's Reach. And that was only, I think, around 6% of the total land available.
And is it going to be open to the public at all, or is it all kind of just paid entry?
The short answer is both. And there's various ways that will be achieved. So let me start with, you know, an absolute die-in-the-ditch statement about New Zealanders, and that is the Queen Vic's right to the Queen chain. The Queen's chain. So what is it? I think every man, and presumably woman and child, would have the right to have freedom of sort of entry and egress to the riverbanks and shorelines of New Zealand. So there will be public access around, of course, across the river. There are cycleways being put in there at the moment, and at the moment we're thinking more of a meandering walking path on that southern side of the river. Then there will be because we've channeled the river, which is part of our problems, there will be, if you like, a sort of living lung where both climate change and floods have room to expand, and people can observe the way nature treats and deals with that. Of course, to get the revenue, there will be a core set of exhibitions. And on the sort of periphery with that will be things like hospitality and retail. Now, in the Eden model in the UK, their restaurant, because their food is so good, a lot of it is grown locally, is one of their very successful business ventures. And apart from estimating some charge rates, there will be, as in the UK, very big concessions to locals, you know, including the status in our business plan to have sort of annual passes. That once you pay to come once, you have free entry for a year, and you can bring your aged parents or grandparents down and have a cup of coffee or wander around. So the umbrella that this all comes under is a thing called social enterprise, and that's why the CEO, David Harland, was out here for the World Social Enterprise World Forum. And social enterprise is called profits with a purpose. So at the moment, we have all of this under a charitable education trust, and the idea is not to make a profit, but to reinvest that back in community well-being as a catchphrase for it all.
Yeah, it sounds completely fascinating. Will there be actual wildlife inside, or is it specifically just kind of plants and things like that?
Well, New Zealand is full of wildlife, but it's of a different variety than you might find in say, Sub-Sahara Africa. You know, we have the big ungulate. So the icon species for the Avon River is tuna, is eel, kai tuna. And hence the eel net as the sort of home of all of this. I mean, they're beautifully designed that the adults were getting trapped and the young could swim through. So it was a very early model of sustainable harvest. We expect a lot of waterfowl as well. And there are other sites along the Avon River, such as the Travis Wetland, which also deal very well to wildlife. So it is a place where nature speaks, but it's certainly not lions or sheep or Himalayan tar. It's about New Zealand's and its ecosystem services.
Yes. Oh, sounds amazing. Can't wait till it happens. Well, is it going to happen? Do we know if we got any dates?
Well, look, we are eternally optimistic, and to help you with some of the images of it and your readers, we have a website and people can go there and sign up and get the newsletter. So that is edenprojectnz.co.nz. So that's the place to go for updates. And at the moment, what sort of brought this to the media's attention is that Eden Project, since they announced their goal of having at least one Eden on every continent, because they found that contributing to the world's sustainability by shouting from a pit in just beneath Wales wasn't quite ambitious enough. But they have 13 suitors, and so 13 potential projects on the go. They've sent their design team here. Their architectural friends have been out and had a look. Their CEO has visited three times. And they're saying, look, you're up the top of our list. We have momentum. We want to keep going. And we are so busy with requests that they have to continue to convince their board that they don't need to go to Australia or elsewhere. And so the problem for us at the moment is that the allocation process for the residential red zone for the land that's currently held by the Crown is somewhat cumbersome and slow. So we're saying, come on, guys, let's get on join the waka. Let's push it out and paddle it. So what can we do to expedite this process? Because it is a major international investment, and we don't want to let them wiggle off the hook.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.